Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the right. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negev. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. For when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. He didn't make the top three or four, but neither was he in the last three or four. He was with those folks somewhere in the middle, where most of us stand, somewhere in the middle. I'm talking, of course, about St. Matthew, who is the first of the three examples given about of faith in today's gospel reading. I say that about Matthew because while we know more about him than some of the apostles, we surely know a lot less about him than the big three, as it were, Matthew, Peter, James, and John. What do we know about Matthew? Well, not much when you really think about it. Was he somebody that Jesus knew beforehand, like he probably knew Peter and Andrew and James and John beforehand? Well, there's no indication of that. In fact, why tell this story of him being past as he was sitting at his tax office and called, and he immediately got up and went away. That's somewhat reminiscent of the fishermen who were tending their nets when Jesus said, "Come on, it's time to go, time to get moving." And sure enough, they dropped what they were doing and left their dad Zebedee behind and went with him. But what did Jesus know about Matthew? Well, obviously he knew he was a tax collector, because there he was sitting in the tax office getting ready to take his portion off the top of that which he charged while doing the work of the Roman devils. And after all, taxes were thought to be blasphemous because none of it came back to build a church or a synagogue, and none of it came back to help those in need. It was used to build tax offices and coliseums, and some to be sent back to Rome. And the tax collectors were known to be hired out by these Roman blackguards. And sure enough, they were bad enough to work for them. But then they said, "How do you make your money? The only way to make your money is to charge more than the taxes require and keep a little for yourself." So they were pretty much hated by most of the citizenry. Then the story skips. We don't know what happened between that call and Matthew getting up and following right away, and suddenly they're at dinner. Well, how'd they get to dinner? Well, I'm sure they did some other things, but I'm sure the community already had seen that here was Jesus calling a tax collector, the dreaded tax collector, those turncoats, those ne'er-do-wells who took money from the poor only to line their own pockets. And so there they were at dinner, and who were they having dinner with? Other tax collectors. When from outside, here come the Pharisees and saying, "You can't get away with that, buddy. You came to proclaim the kingdom of God, but here you are eating with tax collectors and sinners." You know, it's kind of like some of these protests that you see today against some of the things that some churches do. And so, you know, all hell broke loose because the Pharisees were saying, "How can you call this man? How can you call him to be one of your followers, to give up everything he has and come and follow you? You know he's no damn good." And Jesus answered them with scripture. He says, you know, it's not the sick that you don't call a doctor before somebody gets sick. You wait until they are sick. Then you call them. But they have to be worth being healed if you're going to heal them. And then, you know, things like it's what are the ones he was saying there? "What I require is mercy, not sacrifice. What I require is forgiveness, a sure sign of the Holy Spirit. I call whom I will call." And then before it could get ugly, here came a leader of the synagogue saying, "My child has fallen ill, and I know you can heal her." Well, The Pharisees, on the one hand, are condemning him, and here comes another leader of the synagogue saying, come help. Isn't that always the way it works? You know, you're terrible until I need you. Right? And so, Jesus gets up, and he takes his disciples with him, and he goes. He escapes the unruly mob, as it were, to do the work of healing. And on the way, of course, he's distracted by somebody who doesn't really deserve his help, but shows her faith and is therefore healed. And then when he arrives at the death scene, as it were, for they think she's dead, and they laugh at him when he says she's only sleeping, he dispels all the merrymakers, those who take to celebration in the face of loss. But back to Matthew. What else do we know about him after that? Not much. We know that he was listed among the 12 from then on. But how do you think the others felt, knowing that among them was one who had been their enemy, and now he was one of them? Well, I don't know about you, but one time when I was preaching here a while back, I shared with you a technique that I had learned many years before, and I asked Dee to help me. And I sat Dee down and I said, okay, Dee, I'm going to ask you 8 questions. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And I asked him to come up with a different answer for each of the 8 questions to prove the point that we are never just what we think we are. We are never just what other people think we are. We are something far more important. Something that God has made that has a true self with true worth and true value, even if it doesn't appear so on the surface. I thought about asking you the 8 questions today, but not of yourselves, but of Matthew. Because we don't have any other details. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know anything about his place in the community. Maybe he took his enough just to live on and shared the extra he made to help people. We don't know. But we do know this. Jesus, whether he had met him before or not, knew him. Jesus saw him and saw through all his weaknesses, all his sins, all his transgressions, and said, you are of value to me and to your fellow members of my kingdom. Do we know our true selves? Do we let our true selves really rule in the way that we live, move, and have our being? Would Jesus see that value in each of us? Even if Jesus knew who we truly are? So I bid you, ask the 8 questions of yourself. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? 8 times. And after a while, maybe you'll value what God values in each one of us. That we are his own creation with all the potential to follow in his footsteps and become what he would have us truly be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand while we say the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,
true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for Ava, Belinda, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Julianne, Kelly, Cindy, Debbie, Randy, Faye, Sharon. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Be with you. Thank you.
Is there a designated announcer among us? Okay, Dennis?
Just want to remind everybody we're having Nibbles, tea, coffee after church. So please come.
Biblical hour. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Anything else?
We still need volunteers to sign up for the food pantry.
Okay. Anything else? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Praise the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Matthew, blessed Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with a sincere heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.